blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 21, stanzas 3 and 4. Because the poor are sore oppressed, because the needy are distressed, and bitter are their cries, the Lord will be their helper strong, and to save them from contempt and wrong, Jehovah will arise. 3 and 4 of Psalter 21.
wish to read to you out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Psalms, Psalm 72. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 72, a psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his day shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents, the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, his prayers ended here upon this world in a doxology blessing thy name, but he does it forever and forever, in so much joy and in so much beauty and in great perfection. But it did begin here upon the world, and thou didst raise thyself to such an estimation to his soul, and that he blessed thy name and would have all men over it, whole earth, to bless and to magnify and to glorify thee. And it shall be, because it is thy own decree And thou dost everything for thy glory, even the awful fall of men, so that man would know what it is to be raised up, taken out of an horrible pit and the miry clay, and have his feet set upon a rock and his goings established, and a new song put in the mouth, even praise unto our God. And we and our children, we may sing those praises with our mouths each and every Sabbath day, maybe other days too. But thou knowest our wretched and our miserable hearts. Oh, then we cannot praise thee, we cannot magnify thee, for thou art not lifted up in our eyes and in our heart's estimation, unless thou givest us a new heart, and takest away the stony heart out of our flesh, and givest unto us a heart of flesh. Then there are those that so desire it, Lord. They sit here also in thy house, from Sabbath to Sabbath, some of them, with a longing in their heart that they may magnify thy name. If thou would give just a little crumb of it for a moment in truth and in uprightness, oh, that thou mayst hear thy people when they cry to thee. Lord, are they not desires that come from thee? Oh, that thou may also fulfill them, may it be also in this day, that they may behold thee, who that thou art, for a wretched and a miserable creature, that they may magnify thee. Oh, that thou may so bless thy word in the midst of us as a congregation, that young and old may experience an holy jealousy for the blessed portion of thy people, or that they may be brought with weeping and with supplications, tears that are sweet in their soul, to weep in true repentance before thee, a godly sorrow, that worketh repentance not to be repented of, that says, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and that may go down to the house justified, rather than the other who upholds himself and who says, I am not as other men are. O Lord, we need to be broken down. We need to be humbled. We need to receive the spirit of grace and of supplications. And we need to receive a contrite heart and a broken spirit before thee, both young and old, that it may be known in our midst, that there may be in our chambers, in each and every one of our houses also, in the rooms of the boys and the girls, the little children, that they might know a place in their home, in their house, in their place, where they must go upon their knees and cry out to the living and the true God. And all their sorrow for sin and in all the missing for thee, the only and the true God, oh, that they may come even as a Ruth of old, desiring that they may be joined unto the people of the Lord, and that the God of that people may also be their God, and that they may be thy children. Then such desires that come from thee, they shall return to thee, and they shall be fulfilled by thee, and thy name will receive all the honor and all the glory. Lord, wilt thou so bless thy word and the offices in thy church, for thou knowest also what we hope to do in this afternoon hour. When there are two men who hope to give an oath, to swear an oath, to give their yes in solemnity before thee and the congregation, it is not an oath that they can keep. O Lord, then we beseech thee that thou mayst remember them and give them what is necessary not only to speak that word, yes, but that they also may cry to thee, that thou may give what is necessary to fulfill that oath. Oh, that thou mayest endue them with thy grace in their heart. That new birth, that holy awe for thee, and the knowledge of self and the knowledge of thee, thy dear and only begotten Son, which does in an inward way qualify a man to serve in that office, and that thou mayest qualify them with all the gifts also that are necessary to perform that work, especially that gift of humility, that they may receive it, that they may do the labors in the midst of our flock with thy help and with thy guidance, and that they may be a blessing in the midst of the congregation wherein we do dwell. Remember those who were in the offices and are no longer. Thou knowest also their place, that thou may remember them, and that thou may supply for them also where they are, and that thou mayest look upon and bless the labors that are done in this congregation and all thy churches. Remember also the wives and the children, the families of these brothers, when they also must bear up under a certain weight. Oh, that thou may give them strength, that thou may give them thy grace also, and the children to bear up under it, and to lift a little with husband and with father, and that thou mayest give unto them the reward of grace. It cannot be merited. It is a free gift. But when their husband and when their father, they may serve in that office, and that thou may give them also a cry to thee for a blessing from the offices, and that they may receive that blessing out of thy right hand. Lord, do remember us then in thy mercy. Remember the whole congregation. Give us prayer for these men as thy servant did pray, even for his own son, who would be the king of the land. That thou may look on all thy servants. Remember the candidate who was accepted by the classes Midwest in the week that is gone by, and thou hast made all things so well for him thus far, and thou hast helped him. O Lord, that thou may go with him further now in the move that he must make, and when he may in the next month be installed in the midst of his congregation as their own minister, that thou may be with them and with him, and that thou mayest bless also the way, and that thou mayest go forth in the midst of the congregations, but also on the mission field. And when we have heard and when we have seen a little of the work that they do, Lord, that thou mayest be near unto them, and that they might feel that it is thy work and the greatness and the worthiness of that work, but also if it could please thee to see a little fruit upon the labors, that they may be a little encouraged in that work, and that they may rejoice in time to come, bringing the sheaves with them. Lord, that thou mayest go before all thy servants and all that do have an office and a place, also those who are magistrates in the land, who are greatly accountable for the work that they must do, the judges of the land, who have to answer to thee not only for a personal, in a personal way, but also for their daily work to give an answer how that they have fulfilled it on the basis of thy holy word. Oh, that thou may give that grace in their heart, open the eyes in the days in which we live. Oh, Lord, then for us, we pray it with our mouth, but we can hardly believe that it could ever be so. And yet thou art a great God and can do great things, but we need to be brought in the need. Oh, that thou mayst bring us then in the right place, and that there may be a cry to heaven in the poverty of the days in which we live for the sakes of our rising generation, and that they may be given still freedom in the land wherein we live, and that thy truth may remain amongst us. Oh, give us to stand for thy truth, and that there may be a love for thy truth, and that thou mayest bring thy truth in our hearts, give it in the hearts of our young people who are tempted with so many things in this world, not only worldly things, but also religion that is tempting to their flesh, wherein man is honored and glorified in the merits of a human being, but man is then lifted up as a rich young ruler, and then he is sent away from thee. O Lord, make us poor, make us an afflicted, and make us a contrite people. Show unto us our fall, show unto us our sin, show unto us our depravity, and give us to know that we are fallen creatures, and that we may cry to thee in the need of our souls also when we are yet young. And wilt thou care for all that are afflicted? And wilt thou supply for her that lieth in the hospital after receiving surgery in this week? Thou knowest all the pain, and thou knowest all the discomfort of her body. And then it is not easy to listen or to read, but the body that takes away all the mind, and there is fatigue, O Lord, and then thou art able to overcome it all, and that thou mayest give unto her yet in the place where she is a little visit from above, and that she may receive a longing in her soul and the fulfillment of that longing, and that thou mayest show thyself in all thy compassion and all thy pity for fallen and wretched creatures. Wilt thou be with us in this hour? Help us, O Lord, to bring a little portion of thy word in this hour. O, remember thy people, for thou knowest that they must be fed when thou givest life. O Lord, then it needs also to be upheld, to be nurtured. And thou givest it to the plants, and thou givest it to the animals, and thou givest it to us as human beings. O Lord, give it also to thy people. How can they go without the manna that comes from heaven, and the bread that comes from heaven, that is like that coriander seed, and that is that has the taste of honey? Oh, give them a little taste of it in this hour. Give us a little freedom. Give us a little opening. And wilt thou fill us with thy spirit from on high, that we may be able to rejoice and to bless thy name with thy servant, thy glorious name, and that we may desire that the whole earth may be filled with thy glory. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 19, stanzas 1 through 5. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress. 1-5 of Psalter 19.
Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text for this special service can be found in the portion that was read to you, Psalm 72, and thereof verses 12, 13, and 14. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. So far the words of our text, help for the poor. First, the character of the poor. Second, the helper of the poor. And third, the worth of the poor. Help for the poor. First, their character. Second, their helper, and third, their worth. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. What a misery, congregation. What a misery is in this world. Our text speaks of that misery. It speaks about the needy and the poor and those who have no helper. So three things, children. Will you remember those three things today? The needy, the poor, and those that have no helper. So let us think about that a bit. What does that mean? He speaks first about the needy. And when he speaks about the needy, he speaks actually about those who are, in general, in the lowest class of society and that are in this world. So needy, that speaks about a need. That speaks about a lack. It speaks about something that somebody does not have, that they miss. What do you miss? What do you desire? What do you lack? It is not speaking here just about luxuries, because then I think we can name so many things, each of us. But it does not speak about luxuries here. It speaks when it speaks about the needy, because it says the needy when he crieth. What does that mean? That needy person is shouting. He is shouting out for help. When do we do that? You say, maybe I am needy too. But where do we hear someone who is shouting? Shouting out that somebody would come and help him. When do we do that, children? Say we do that when it is very extreme, our need, right? We do that when our life maybe is going to come to an end. So it is not the first thing that a person does when he is in need and when he lacks something. Because what is then the first thing that a person does? Well, then we are going to try to help ourselves. And we are going to try to lift ourselves out of our own need. We don't just start crying because a man has pride. A man has a certain dignity. And so he will labor to fill his need. And that crying then, to whom does that belong? We say that belongs to someone who experiences that he is not able to help himself. That is right. But that is not the only thing. It is that he cannot help himself, but also that he needs to have that thing. That it is not just a luxury, otherwise his pride that still remains and his dignity that still remains. But if he needs to have it, if it is a necessity for his life, if his life cannot continue without it, well, then you say he begins to cry. Thus, such a crying that begins when somebody begins to fear that he is going to die. We can read about the hart, the deer, and they are being chased. They don't have so much in the way of defenses except to run, boys and girls. And when a deer is running and running and running away from another animal, fearing for his life, then he begins to pant. He begins to cry for water. Then he is also, if he gets no water, then he is also going to die. And David felt like that, didn't he? David saw that heart and he felt the same in his own soul. When the heart about to falter, trembleth in his agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. And then he spoke about his soul that was crying out unto God, because without God, then he could not continue to live. Needy when he cried. But we read in Psalm 107, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Oh, not before their trouble, but they cried unto him in their trouble. When that trouble was upon them, and when death, oh, they came, it says, when they were at the gates of death, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Oh, they cried to him when they were at their wits' end, and they did not know what to do anymore. Oh, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They cried unto the Lord when their soul fainted in them. Then they had no strength. Oh, what does then the fear of death do to a man's dignity? What does the fear of death do to a man's pride? Then it all goes away. Then he begins to cry. Is that the first time, congregation, that we are going to begin to cry for the need of our soul on our deathbed? When all of our dignity, oh, when the fear cometh, but will we not humble ourselves in the day of health and strength and prosperity, and that we may be rid of all of our pride and dignity, and that we may cry out to the Lord in our trouble? David speaks about the needy when he cried. He has a want, he has is something that he is missing, and that what he is missing that is so necessary for his life, he cannot do without it. But then we read more. It says, the poor also. So what does that word mean? The poor also. You know what it means? It means weak. Weak. Thus, he is afflicted, he is wretched, he is lowly. Why? Because he is weak. You know what Solomon says? He says, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Their destruction, their weakness. That is, that they cannot lift themselves out of that poverty, because if a man could lift himself out of this poverty, he would not be poor anymore. Then he is not a poor man. That's that poverty that has to do with especially his weakness, his inability to change his circumstances. He is in a need, but that need he is not able to fulfill. He has no strength. He has no ability. He has no wisdom. He does not know how to do it. Oh, the misery of fallen man. What is that? What is a man's misery? That is his depravity. It is his depravity. It is not only his guilt. Because if it's only his guilt, well, then maybe he could yet make up for it, that guilt. But it is his depravity. It is his poverty. And this is what the Lord needs to show to a man, that he might see and that he might feel that he is not able to make that up, that he is not able to bring himself out of his wretched state, his wretched condition. Did you ever feel that? And that it is not only luxuries that church is missing. No, it is missing necessities. You know what it is missing? It is missing righteousness. Righteousness. Oh, do you ever cry out because of your depravity and your lack of righteousness? That you are not right before God, before his holy law, and that you cannot make yourself right before him? Do you know what he lacks? Oh, he feels that. He lacks holiness. Oh, and he is crying out in his depravity, in his weakness, to be holy. That is in that warfare against sin. Do we ever feel that? That lack of righteousness, a lack of holiness. Do we ever cry out under that impossible? We cannot die as we have been born. We cannot die as we have come into this world. Do we ever feel that? The depravity of being dead. Dead in sins and in trespasses, having no hope, and yet at the same time being without God in the world, then he cannot miss this, and neither can he obtain this. That is the needy when he crieth. That is the poor also. And then David goes on. He says, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. What does that mean? Do you know what that is? It is the nail in the casket. No helper. Do you know what David writes in Psalm 107? He says, they fell down and there was none to help. Shall we think about that for a moment, boys and girls? You are in the wilderness. There is no one. And you fall down. And you cannot help yourself up. Yeah. If we have a need, that is one thing. And if we cannot help ourselves, that is another thing. Then it is getting worse. And what happens when there is no helper? And then I have a need that I cannot miss. A lack that if I do not obtain, I shall die. All to fall down and to have none to help. The needy when he cried, the poor also, weak in himself, and him that hath no helper. Oh, do you ever experience that in your own soul? That you cannot help yourself? Do you even have a need? that you cry out under? And do you, in the second place, cry out under your poverty? And then it can be, especially if we are young people, then we think, well, I go here, I go there, I go maybe my mother, my father, oh, and yeah, you can tell them what lives in your heart. Do you ever do that? Tell your mother or father what lives in your heart. They are closest to you. There is no one that cares so much for you than your mother and your father. Your wife, your husband. May you tell them what lives in your heart. The need that lives in your heart. And they, yeah, what can they do? What can they do? I remember when I was young, I went one time to the minister. And when I left the minister, I thought I went to the wrong place. Because that minister could not help me. No helper. And I cannot help myself. O congregation, are there such? Because if death stares us in the face, if we lay on a bed of sickness, and then we are afraid that we have to die, well, we have first some hope, because there is a doctor. And doctor, what may we do? And there is this medicine, and there is that procedure, and there is that surgery. And what now can help me? And we try this, and we try that. And then finally, then you have to realize that I have no helper. That doctor also is weak. And that it is weak with all the medicines and all the technology. And now I have to die. Poor. Poverty. And now that is what the Lord is doing also with his people. Then you don't have to be sick. But if the Lord comes when you are healthy and well, and the Lord binds his word upon your heart, oh, then the Lord teaches you those lessons. Oh, then you see what you miss. Then you see what you lack. And you hope in your strength. And you hope in your repentance. And you experience when the Lord, when it is right, because there are two ways it can go, young people. It can go up or down. It can go up or down. With many people, it goes up. They do it with faith. It's a new law. Become one of God's children. Or it can go down. And they experience weakness. And they experience poverty. And finally, that I have no helper. We say the nail in the casket. Then it is hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Oh, how lonely that can be. How fearful that can be. Because they do not belong anywhere. They do not belong to the world. And they do not belong to God's people. And they have a loving family. But none of them can help me. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. For he shall deliver them. Do you know what the eunuch asked Philip? He said, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Does your heart say that too? When it says, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper, he shall deliver them. Who is that helper? That is our second thought. It is a Psalm of David. And David, he prays for his son. He prays for Solomon. He prays for his reign when he will become king, for the extension of his reign, for the subjection of the nations under his reign. But do you know what he prays for in a special way? He prays for judgment. That Solomon will make a righteous judge, because there is no greater glory for a king or for a person who has been placed over others than to reign in righteousness. No matter how large that kingdom is, no matter how small that kingdom is, thus David, he prays for his son. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. See, parents here also of these two young men will be installed in an office. What is your prayer, parents, for your children? When they will be placed over others, and not only parents, because David prays for his son when he will be made king, but congregation, will we also pray for those who are placed in offices over us? Because the king's heart, we read in God's word, is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever that he will. Thus, there is nothing in that sense that is so powerful that you can do, outwardly at least, than to pray for those that rule over you. And David does not only pray for him, he also prophesies. Because David was a prophet. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. Thus, the mountains of Jerusalem, the Mount Zion, they shall bring peace. How? By righteousness. So peace comes, peace in a land is a fruit of righteousness. It is a fruit, a consequence of doing right judgment. Do you remember those two harlots? They came before Solomon. Oh, David, he had prayed for his son. And then we can hear how the Lord has answered that prayer. Those two harlots and the judgment and the righteousness. Because what do we read of those, that distraught mother who had no helper, no one was with her in the house, and she was weak, and she was going to lose her child. No helper. But David says, he shall judge the poor of the people, and he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. That is the duty of the king. But it is also the honor of the king to do it. It is the glory of the king to do it. He has power to do it. That power is given unto him by the Lord. Thus, he must exercise that power. Because those poor are susceptible to oppression. Solomon himself speaks about it. He says, I beheld the tears of such as were oppressed. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. That was not just Solomon, but actually here it speaks about Christ. David prophesies many years before already. David is prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ and the reign of Christ. because there are things in this psalm that cannot be attributed merely unto Solomon. Thus, it is speaking not just about an outward kingdom, but it is speaking about the spiritual kingdom of Christ. And it is speaking about the spiritual subjects of Christ. What does Zechariah say? He says, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. That is his church. They are susceptible to oppression. Christ calls them babes. They have a need, not just a natural need. They have a soul's need. Are there here also those who are the spiritual subjects of this king that have a need of the soul out of which you cry out to God, that have a need of your soul that you cannot fulfill, that you feel and experience the weakness, that spiritual poverty because of spiritual death, that you experience that there is no helper for your own soul? David expresses the help that this helper is going to give to those needy and poor who have no helper. He does that with four different expressions, showing how that helper is going to help them. Four expressions. He says, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare. So he shall deliver, he shall spare, and he shall save the souls of the needy, and he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. Four things: deliver, save, spare, and redeem them. What do those four words mean? Well, the first one, to deliver them, that actually means to snatch them. To snatch them away. To rescue them. To spare, that means to have pity, to have compassion. To save means to deliver, that is to liberate them. And last, to redeem them, that is to do what we read in God's word is the part of a kinsman. That is, to legally buy them back from their slavery. Thus, when Christ delivers and spares and saves and redeems them, then he delivers and spares and saves and redeems them from something. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall snatch them away from their oppressors, just like he has snatched Israel out of the hand of that wicked Pharaoh. That Pharaoh who had no right, except that it were given by God, and the Lord has demanded him to return his people unto himself. And he will keep them there, as it were, in a prison, as the devil will do to his people. And he will not let them go when the Lord demands that he let them go. And the Lord says, I will deliver them, I will snatch them out of the hand of their oppressors. When their cry is coming up unto me, and when it is reaching the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, oh, that enemy will make them cry, but I will snatch them away in the nick of time. They shall know their poverty. They shall know their weakness. They shall experience that they cannot deliver themselves out of the hand of that enemy. And then they shall know my power, that I am stronger than every enemy, and they shall magnify me as David magnifies the Lord. Oh, that is, he shall deliver the needy when he cries. He shall spare the poor and needy. He shall have compassion on them in their wretchedness. Must the Lord have compassion on us? Do we not deserve all of the misery, the wretchedness, the death, the weakness, the inability, the judgments, the punishments, eternal? Is that not all deserved? Is there any reason that the Lord must have compassion upon rebellious creatures as we are? No. And yet, thus that all comes from his side. It is all out of his own goodness. He shall spare them. Oh, his bowels, they are going to yearn upon him when he sees them there in their guilt, in their wretchedness, in their misery. He's going to spare them from death. He's going to say, come into Egypt and live with me, and I will give you all the good of the land of Egypt, and that shall be yours. He shall spare the needy. He shall save the souls of the needy. He will deliver them. He will liberate them from the hands of their persecutors, from the devil, from sin. Oh, how often do they not fear that sin that is going to have dominion over me? I cannot rid myself of it. It is going to destroy me. It is going to take my life. It is going to condemn me forever and forever. No, sin shall not have dominion over you. Why not? Well, he shall save the souls of the needy, and he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. Oh, he will buy them back from that slavery to sin and the world and the devil. And he will purchase them back to be his own. Oh, what is the sum of it? Oh, that sum is, he will do everything for them. He will perform everything that is necessary for a people who are crying out in their wretchedness, in their need, in their poverty, in their weakness, when there is no other helper. That is now the sum of it. The needy when he cries, the poor also, and him that hath no helper, how they fear to perish because of impotency. The disciples, they cried out in that storm, Lord, save us. They said, we perish. Oh, why are you fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. And he rebuked that storm, and there was a great calm. That is now the life of that church, all in a nutshell. Those disciples out in that storm. Without Christ, it is all lost. Is that for you too? But with him, oh, then life is so sure. It is so certain. It is all his might. It is all his wisdom, all his faithfulness, all of his love, everything that comes from him. And that church, they will be needy and they will be poor, but they will never perish. Let us sing a moment. 233:1, 2, and 3. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear. For I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul. For thee I fear, O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 233. Thank you. help for the poor, the character, the helper, and finally the worth of these poor and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Whose blood? Who are they? We just heard who they were. We heard their character. The needy when he crieth. The poor also. And him that hath no helper. They are just the ones that are despised by the world. They are just the ones that the Bible says they will be persecuted in the world. Not even only in the world, but they are also persecuted often even in the church. Even mocked sometimes within the churches because there is sometimes no patience for such needy people. And there is no patience for such poor people. Especially in our days, young people. When there is so much in Christianity that boasts about faith. And they say, I do not have that in my pockets. And then there are people who are boasting about faith and who do not agree that Christ needs to be revealed in the life of a person. Do not agree with that. Then they have no patience for a person who is poor, for a person who is weak. But Solomon says he hideth behind our wall. That is the reality, the living complaint of that true church of God. Job says, I go forward, but he is not there. And I go backward, and I cannot perceive him. And yet they cannot do without him all the necessity. And because then they experience that without me, ye can do nothing. And they experience that without him, they also have nothing. Oh, sometimes then they can say with Job, but he knoweth the way that I take. And they receive a little comfort. Sometimes years that people can be on that journey. And over again, then you are asking them, oh, is there a little opening? Is there a little opening? And then you hear just a little token and a little token there. But that people, they are still waiting and they are still asking and they are still longing. And now you know what the Bible says. Oh, it says precious. Precious shall their blood be in his sight. Do you know who that is? That is congregation, the remnant, and that the world despises. Paul, he says, a remnant shall be saved. These are the scraps that the world and often the church is casting away. And now Paul says, no, the Lord does not cast those scraps away. But the Lord saves them. And David, he says here, precious. Precious shall their blood be in his sight. That means they are esteemed. Esteemed. The lowest class in society. The lowest class in the church. Oh, what a wonder, Paul says. We are as the filth of the world. And the offscouring of all things unto this day. But David says that people are precious. They are like a gem in the eyes of the Lord. Precious shall their blood be. What is their blood? The Bible says the blood is the life. Their life that is precious in the eyes of the Lord. That is why Zechariah says, he that toucheth you that toucheth you, that needy people. Oh, never mock them. Never mock that people who do not have power, spiritual power to take, who must receive it all from the Lord, and who are waiting, and who are longing, and who are asking. Never mock them. Because they are the apple. They are the apple of the eye of the Lord. Aaron wore a breastplate, and there were 12 pearls on that breastplate, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. These are the pearls that are laying on the heart of Christ. Precious shall their blood be. Oh, he shed his own blood for that people, that he may deliver them, that he may spare them, that he may save them, that he may redeem them. And shall not their blood then be precious in his sight? Oh, that is the blood of his own blood-bought bride. And that people, they say, how is that possible? Because there is nothing. Oh, there is nothing from my side. They say it is all poverty. Oh, the faith, the obedience, the love, all my religion, what is it? It is all poverty. And yet, it is his delight. Oh, he delights in that poor black bride. Why? Because in them, his grace, his free, his sovereign grace, his might, his power, his love, his covenant, his faithfulness, oh, his everything is all magnified, it is all glorified in that people. They will never more boast in themselves. But they shall magnify him, and he is going to get all the glory, and they are so going to agree with this, and he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Congregation, let us sing 194. Stanzas 4, 5, and 6, and afterwards the form for the installation of deacons will be read. 194, 4, 5, and 6. Yea, all the kings shall bow to him, his rule all nations hail. He will regard the poor man's cry when other helpers fail. 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 194.
Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present who are chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had aught to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the name of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well, especially they who labor in the word, and shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered sacraments. But the others who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speak it afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to be priests in the services of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, "Tell the church," which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Let us now go on to the concerning the deacons. Of the origin and institution of their office, we may read in Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold. And distribution was made unto every man, according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose, because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen, by the advice of the apostles, who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires in Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 9, for which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture.
I now ask those who hopefully installed in the office to please arise and answer the following questions. To the end, therefore, that you, Mr. Alan Maljars and Mr. Alan Verhoef, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you whether you do not feel in your hearts that you are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God Himself to this your holy office. Secondly, whether you believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only Word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether you promise agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability, to discharge your office, as it is here described in the ministration to the poor. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case you should become remiss in your duty, to the admonition of the church. What is your answer, Mr. Alan Maljars? Mr. Alan Verhoef. The Almighty God and Father replenish you with His grace that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your office. Brothers, we have a wish for you. It does not sound very nice, but in this moment we wish for you poverty. That is, of course, not a natural poverty, because natural poverty is a consequence of our sin, and it is an awful consequence. But what a wonder that the Lord, we read in His Word, takes care that He looks upon and is a helper of the poor, even the natural poor in this world. And that the Lord gives a special office, that He instituted a special office in His church, especially for the poor. Then we may see how, despite our sin, how good that the Lord is. No, it is not a natural poverty that we wish for you, but it is indeed a spiritual poverty. And why? For two reasons. In the first place, for yourselves. Because we have heard that in a spiritual way, the blessings of the Lord by His Son, they are connected to those who live in spiritual poverty. He says that He will help them. Thus, if that's the person then that you may be, then you receive a qualification that is above all qualifications for your office. But that is personal. And in the second place, we wish you that poverty in an official capacity. Why? Because it is always difficult to understand persons when we have never experienced where that they are at. If we visit a widow or a widower, then for us it is very difficult to understand them. And if you are not naturally poor, and it is your work to help such persons, then it is difficult for you to understand them. How tender that a person must be when he is dealing with a gift that is being given freely in their need. Because such a person, a poor person, receiving a gift is so humbled. They are not high, but they are very low. And thus, the tenderness with which such gifts need to be given is very great. But if the Lord will give us to know a spiritual poverty and to know what it is to receive everything that is so necessary, all for nothing, and the humility that brings in the soul of a man, then as a deacon, then you have a little understanding of what it is to live on that other side. And we wish that for you wholeheartedly. James writes, "Had not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which God hath promised to them that love him." Not everyone who is naturally poor is also spiritually poor, but they will be found among that people. And that will be a privilege to you when you may so minister to persons naturally poor, and when you may feel something of that spiritual poverty, that you may know and feel that you minister to the church of Christ. Then you will feel joy in the service of the Lord. Then the service of the Lord in your office will be good. And we hope that the Lord may strengthen you, that the Lord may give, that you may receive a blessing in it, but that you also may be a blessing in the midst of our congregation in your offices. Let us, congregation, sing, standing on behalf of these two deacons, Psalter 367, the fourth stanza. Thou, the Lord, hath chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This my resting place forever. Here thou sayest I choose to dwell. And what follows in the fourth stanza of 367, standing. Wherefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, and but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your office, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and there and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor, and give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective calling, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants, by whom thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with thy spirit. We beseech thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, and with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that everyone may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming the elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, and in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor, and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts toward the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that every one acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 306, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. From rising unto setting sun, praised be the Lord, the Mighty One, who reigns o'er all, supreme in might, above the heavens in glory bright, above the heavens in glory bright. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 306.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.